This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. In this message entitled True Freedom, Pastor Aaron describes three D's that are required in order for us to experience true freedom. This message was delivered on July 2nd, 2017. Here now is Pastor Aaron.
Well, aloha kakahiaka kako, everybody. Welcome to New Hope East Hawaii this morning, and thank you for joining us on this beautiful, beautiful day that God has given us. Yeah? Well, I know that it isn't 4th of July yet, but because I probably won't be seeing most of you on that day, I want to take this opportunity to wish everybody a happy Independence Day. And I pray that you have a safe and joyful one as you celebrate, okay? Next week, Sunday, I want to see all fingers on everybody when you come here, okay? You're going to be playing with firecrackers. Be very careful. Light them on the ground, like supposed to, okay? Good fun to see them go up. I know good fun to throw them sometimes, but not wise, okay? So be really safe in doing that. If you're celebrating and you're celebrating with celebrative libations, please drive very, very safely. Well, not drive at all. Okay, again, use wisdom. Whatever you do, celebrate, but celebrate well. Okay? We do want to see you here again next week that nothing happens. But moreover, as we celebrate our independence, I would pray that we never forget the reason why we celebrate this day. You know, the last time I was up here, if you remember, we were celebrating Memorial Day. I'm not sure why Pastor Scott assigned me all the military days, but one thing I do know is that I so appreciate our servicemen and the people who do lay down their lives or have laid down their lives for our freedom. And I'm grateful, I'm honored that I get to do the messages on these Sundays. But I pray that we would never forget that we're honoring sacrifice. Memorial Day, Independence Day, Veterans Day. That's what we're really doing. We're honoring the sacrifice that others made for us. We remember that somebody or someone's paid the price to making a sacrifice so that we, as this great nation that we call America, could have this thing that we call freedom. And don't ever forget that freedom is not free. I think that Americans are actually the worst when it comes to this, that we often take our freedom for granted. And then we start to complain about all kinds of things. Then we become dissatisfied with the life that we have, and we begin to live in such a way that actually takes away from the mark of true freedom, making ourselves slaves to the thoughts that we encumber. Oftentimes, we even abuse freedom. We start doing things that are not of good character and causing us to become slaves to that. And the question becomes that even though we live in the land of the free, even though we celebrate this thing called Independence Day, the question is, are we truly free? Are we? You know, once I had the opportunity to have lunch with this high-profile pastor, and he had recently returned from a secret mission in China. And it was in a time, a while back, a time when social tensions were really high with China and in China. And any religious gatherings, especially Christian ones, were outlawed. But somehow, some way, somebody snuck some of his audio messages into China. And the report came back to him that he had a good-sized following growing in that country. And knowing how huge that was, of course, he had to go check it out for himself. So under the guise of a goodwill mission, he was granted access. And as it goes, he spent the first few days playing out the role of this guise. And then came the window of opportunity, the one day that nobody would be tracking them. The day that he would finally get to meet his secret little church. And he recalled waking well before daylight and then driving for miles out into the countryside, out into one of the most remote regions, stopping in the middle of nowhere no civilization in sight. And he was told that for complete secrecy, for their safety, they'd be walking the last 2 miles. And as he trekked along what was just a makeshift trail, he started to complain to himself. He said, I can't believe I'm doing this. They're actually making me walk to my church. And after that journey had ended, he found himself confronted by the humblest of homes, barely more than a shack. And he said his heart just sank. But that wasn't the biggest letdown. The biggest letdown came when they led him into the house and down into the basement, the poorly lit dirt floor, hidden underground basement. He began to grumble again. He thought to himself, I have addressed thousands. I've spoken in cathedrals and stadiums. I came all this way and did all these things for this. But then he said the people started coming in, started entering. And his interpreter began introducing them. He would say, this is so-and-so from such-and-such town. They have walked 15 miles all night to hear you today. And it was story after story of people traveling 20, 30, some 50 miles on foot, risking their lives to hear the word of God. And then finally, the last person entered. She was an elderly woman in her 80s who had walked 4 nights to get to that place. And I remember looking at him, and he had tears in his eyes. And he said, oh, I felt so dumb. Then he said they all sat around him on the dirt, no chairs. He had a normal 30-minute message prepared for them, but he put that on the side. And for the next 3 hours, he bestowed on them every bit of knowledge that he had. He said they were so hungry to hear, so intent, that when he ran out of knowledge, he started to make stuff up. After that, he spent the next 2 hours answering their questions. Now, being well past the time that he planned on being there, the guide started to get nervous, and he told them, hey, we better get going. They were already in danger being there so long, already in danger of being discovered. So he said, okay. But he asked the guide for five more minutes. He wanted to ask the people one more thing. And this is what he asked. He turned to them and he said, before I leave, tell me, how can I be praying for you? And he was blown away by their response, because this is what they asked. They said, please pray that we would have freedom to worship and serve God, like in your country. Please pray that we would be just like you. So that his heart dropped into his stomach when he heard that, and he started to bawl uncontrollably. And when he composed himself, he told them this. He said, no, I will not pray that prayer for you. Instead, I would ask that you pray that prayer for us. Because you see, some of you have walked 50 miles to hear the word. I walked too, and I was complaining. Where I come from, we grumble about driving more than 5 miles to church. You sit on the dirt in this hot, stuffy, poorly lit basement to learn God's will for you. We got upset if the chairs are a little uncomfortable, if the air conditioning is not strong enough, if the lighting isn't perfect. Some of us even use it as excuses not to go to church at all. You risk your lives to please God. Sometimes we don't even sacrifice an hour of sleep to meet with God. So I will not pray that you be like us. You pray that we be more like you. And then he shared this scripture with him. Comes out of Ephesians 6, verse 12, where it says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And then he left them with this. He said, we may have physical freedom in my country, but you are free in heart, mind, and in your eternity. That's true freedom. I love that story. I love that story. Even though it cuts me to the heart every single time I think about it, convicts me of my own walk with God every time I think about it, I still love it because it reminds me of what true freedom really is, especially when I start to take my freedom for granted. And isn't it so true that right here, in this land that we sing of as free, and the home of the brave, that some of us are still slaves to something? In fact, I think it's more accurate to say that all of us, at some time or other, because of our freedom, we allow ourselves to become slaves to something else in our lives. For some of us, it's a job. For some of us, social media. For some of us, drugs and alcohol, or maybe a TV series, or maybe even another person. Let me say it like this. Whatever it is that deters you from becoming everything that God meant you to be takes away from your true freedom and makes you its slave. This world will use anything it can to make you a slave, and it will do so under the pretense that you live in a free country. How many of you try to correct somebody, maybe your kids or something, and they tell you, it is free country? I hate when they do that. But we do it all the time, maybe not in our words, but in our actions. We think we live in a free country, so you can do just about anything you like. And truthfully, you pretty much can. But that's not true freedom. True freedom isn't a lack of governmental oppression. Neither is it not being encumbered by chains and shackles. True freedom happens when you're good here and here. And you're good here and here because you know beyond all doubt that when this life is over, you have an eternal one to look forward to with a king and a kingdom that never ends. Let me say it like this. I'm actually reiterating. True freedom is a state of being secure in heart, mind, and in eternity. True freedom is a state of being secure in heart, mind, and eternity. That, folks, is the truth. Amen? And nothing in this world can offer you that. Not money, not drugs, not power. Definitely not the Real Housewives of Atlanta or any of those reality shows. No government, no elite military force, not even a great king or leader, past, present, or future, can give you true freedom except for one, as Jesus Christ. And that is the whole truth when it comes to true freedom. Listen to what he says in John 8. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." One of the privileges as a full-time pastor that I had was that I could go into the prisons and visit inmates. And one day I got this message that this one brought. I had requested a visitation. I knew him from 2 years ago, right after he got sentenced and he was getting ready to go into lockup. He actually came to our church, and he was a broken man, remorseful, knew what he did was wrong, willing to pay the price, but he knew he needed something before going in, and that something was Jesus Christ. And I got to pray with him. I knew him because I had the honor of praying with him for his salvation, his true freedom. I got to be in that room on my knees with him as he received Jesus as his Lord and Savior, as he received his true freedom. And of course, when I got this call, I thought, oh no, he must have got into trouble while being in lockdown. But when I actually got to sit down with him, it was just the opposite. He was vibrant. He was smiling, full of life. And he just went off, told me all the things that he had accomplished in there in behind bars in 2 years. Said in those 2 years, he did more better things than he did in all his life before. He was even leading a Bible study. And through that Bible study, he had led several of his friends to true freedom. I'm looking and I'm listening to him, and I remember thinking that he might be the one behind bars, but he's way freer than me. And I was also thinking, oh, this bugger. He can only call me here for brag. But then he became quiet, and the fire dimmed in his eyes. And then he told me the real reason why he asked me to meet him that day. He said that he was told that he would be getting out soon, early release because of excellent behavior. And of course, you know what I'm thinking, so what's the problem? This is what had him worried. He said, you see, while incarcerated, he didn't have all the distractions that had put him there in the first place. Behind bars, it was just him and Jesus. And Jesus made him free every single day. He was worried that when he got his freedom, that he would have access to every influence that got him into trouble in the first place, and that those things would enslave him again. And he was begging me when he looked me in the eye and said, please pray for me. Please pray that I won't go back to those things. Please pray that I won't go back to that lifestyle. I remember sitting there and just looking at him, and I was at a loss, not having a clue as to what to say. And it was almost as if I wasn't saying the words, as if I was listening to the conversation, and I have no clue why I said this. This is what I said. I told him, I'll pray with you, but you gotta want it. You gotta want it. I cannot want it for you. You gotta want it. You gotta wanna be free. And I'll never forget his response. He said, Pastor, with all my heart, I want it. I prayed with him, and then I never got to visit him in prison again, because that very week, they released him. In fact, I didn't see him for over 5 years. And I had tried to call him, but, and this is wisdom now, he had actually changed his phone number, got a different phone, so that all those guys who had his phone number and got him into trouble before couldn't reach him. But neither could I, so I couldn't check up on him. Every once in a while, in those five years, God would put him on my heart, and I would think about him, and I would stop whatever I was doing and pray for him. Never knew what was going on with him. And then just a couple of weeks ago, I'm in the store, and down at the end of the aisle, there he is. And he didn't see me yet. I saw him first. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm not going to rush up to him. I'm going to stand right here, make myself as visible as possible, and I will know how he's doing by his reaction. If he come walking up to me, I know it's all good. If he starts running, then I know things not good. He ran. But he never ran away. He ran straight to me. And now bear in mind, this is a huge man, okay? So even if you know it's good, even if he's smiling at you, he coming at you full speed, it's spooky. And like I knew he would, he grabbed me, he picked me up off of the ground and hugged me, told me he loved me. And so I know he's doing well, yeah? And that day I got to meet his wife. I got to meet his beautiful baby girl. And then I told him, when I hugged him again before we left, I told him, brah, you're doing so good. I am so proud of you. And he responded with this. He said, thank you, Pastor. You know why that is? It's because I still want it. Every single day, I still want it. And that, folks, is the very first and foremost requirement when it comes to having true freedom. That true freedom requires desire. True freedom requires desire. Just before service, somebody told me, you better not cry today. I'm not crying, okay? It's so hot up here that I'm sweating through my eyes. True freedom requires desire. You gotta want it. I can want it for you. Pastor Scott can want it for you. Your family and every one of your friends can want it for you. But it cannot happen in your life unless you want it. Earlier I stated that freedom is never free. And that is especially true when it comes to true freedom. Because Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price for our freedom. He came to this earth. He was born as a child, lived a perfect life as a man, as one of us. Even faced the same challenges that we do. But he did not become enslaved by them. And then after all that was said and done, he laid down his life, shed his own blood as a sacrifice for everything that we have ever done and ever will do wrong. For everything that can and has made us slaves to this world. He shed his blood for our eternal freedom. I've heard it said time and time again that salvation is a free gift to us. But I don't believe that it's free. There is a price that we have to pay. And that price is desire. True freedom requires desire. You got to have it. You got to want it. Now, it goes without saying that it doesn't make any sense to have something if you're not going to exercise it to the full. For example, you feel it on your heart that you love Pastor Aaron so much that you want to buy him that brand new Toyota Tundra. Just saying. But what if you give me that Tundra and I say, oh, thank you very much. Then I park them in the garage and leave them there for 5 years. Maybe going and checking them out every once in a while. That would be for nothing, right? Same thing with true freedom. If we do not employ it into our lives, if we do not exercise it to the full, then it's for nothing. Doesn't make any sense to have it. That's why number two, true freedom requires discipline. True freedom requires discipline. Check out this scripture from the book of Romans. And I want you to bear in mind that this was written by an apostle, the apostle named Paul. You know, sometimes I think that Paul was a real comedian. This is what he writes. He says, I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. You know, every time I come across this one, every time I read this scripture, every time I remember it, it makes me laugh. Not because I take it lightly. It's a very serious word. It makes me laugh because Aaron Pacheco could have written this one. Way too often, I know what is right. I want to do what is right, but I don't. How many of you can identify with that? Aren't we all glad that Paul was an honest guy? That even an apostle deals with these things? Because way too often, for whatever reason, I end up doing what I know I shouldn't do. And I end up becoming a slave to that, wasting my true freedom. By the way, one of the greatest excuses I've heard for not receiving the freedom of Jesus Christ is this. People say, if I become a Christian, then I cannot do what I like. Then I cannot get drunk out of my mind. Then I cannot speed 90 miles an hour over Saddle Road. Then I cannot punch out somebody if they look at me the wrong way. If that's you, listen to this. And I might get in trouble for saying this one, but it's very true, okay? If that's you, listen. Yes, you can. You can. You can do all these things. Receiving God's freedom doesn't mean that he takes away your free will. He will never do that. Receiving God's freedom means that you no longer have to do those things that destroy you. It means that he will give you the power to make better choices. Choices that will keep you from becoming enslaved to anything that would destroy you, and especially to the consequences that they bring. That's what it means. Get it? Good. Now, it also doesn't mean that you won't fall victim to doing those things sometimes. Like I admitted before, I do. Paul admitted the same thing. But you know why that is? Why that happens? Why we fall victim? Why we get enslaved by things that can destroy us? Because of a lack of discipline. That's what it is. Paul continues on. He says, "And I know that nothing good lives in me. That is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. I have discovered this principle in life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death?" Catch this part. Thank God. The answer is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Oh, somebody say amen. 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 Okay. Let's see how many English scholars we have here today. How many of you grew up in Pahuao? Went to Pahuao High School, yeah. Who can tell me what the root word of discipline is? What is the root word of discipline? I heard a movie. What was that? Disciple. Pahuao grad. Right. The root word of discipline is disciple. And the answer is Jesus Christ our Lord. Moreover, being a disciple of Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the answer. One of the main reasons that we so encourage everybody to do daily devotions, why we encourage everyone to sit with the Word of God, and not just sit with it, to interact with Him in prayer. The reason why we do that is, as we do, as we not just read and hear His heart, but learn to do it, learn to incorporate His teachings into our lives, it keeps us from becoming slaves to the things of this world. That's why it's so important. Sin is always breathing down our necks. It's everywhere we go. It's on TV. It's at the mall. It's at the beach. It's very, very prevalent on the web. And sin is a bully. If you didn't know that before, sin is a bully. Always trying to make us do its will. Like I said, I grew up in Pahuao. I wasn't, you know, the muscular guy I am today. Always. Yeah, you're thinking the only thing muscular on him is his ab. When I was in third grade, I was this skinny, scrawny, maybe 65, not even 65, 45-pound Filipino kid. And in third grade, there was this bully. Baga could grow a beard in third grade. I mean, he was a man-child. I swear he was 15 years old, at least. But he was in third grade. And I'm just going to call him Kimo, okay? If you name Kimo, I'm sorry. But Kimo just sounds like a good bully name, yeah? And Kimo used to pick on me every chance he got. And, you know, I was super afraid of Kimo for very good reason. Kimo could run faster than me. Kimo could outsmart me with his mouth. And definitely, Kimo could have put me in the ground if he wanted to. I was that afraid of Kimo. And in third grade, I hated recess because we had to go out in the field. The teachers were not there, but you know who was? Kimo was. And Kimo would look for every opportunity to pick on me. And one day, one recess, I was dreading it, and I went out there, and here comes Kimo across the field. And I know my day is just going to get ruined. Because he's going to come. He's walking with his whole entourage, all of his friends. And, you know, probably today was the day he was going to beat me up. But Kimo got about 15 feet from me. And that whole group just stopped. And for some reason, I swear it was fear in his eyes. They all turned around. Kimo turned around. It's the first time I ever seen him scared. He turned around and they walked out of the way. I was wondering what was going on. And then I felt this hand on my shoulder. And I turned around and I got to see one of my high school buddies. One of my high school buddies. And I don't know if he saw what was going on. But he told me that. He told me, and like he always did, he hugged me. And he told me, I just wanted to come tell you hi. And then he walked off. And I realized what put the fear in Kimo. What put the fear in the bully. Is that my big brother was there. Sin is the same way. Sin may not be afraid. This world may not be afraid of us. And it'll pick on us every chance it gets. But I tell you what it is afraid of. It's afraid of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus has already defeated sin. And when we hang with Jesus Christ, the bully leaves us alone. That's exactly what we happen when we sit at Jesus' feet and the bully recognizes us as his friend. The enemy, whose purpose is to take away our freedom, may not be afraid of us, but he sure doesn't want anything to do with our big brother. And that is why being a disciple, having discipline in our lives is so important. And number three, true freedom requires deference. True freedom requires deference. How many of you are looking at that word and saying, what is that? I had to look them up too. In the dictionary, definition, deference is a noun, which is respectful submission or yielding to the judgment, opinion, will, etc. of another. So basically said, deference really means surrender. And I was going to use the word surrender in this message, but as you can see in your notes, surrender don't begin with D, so I had to find one D word. True freedom requires deference. Deference to what? Deference to the will of God. Because without God's will in our lives, we can have no peace. Without God's will in our lives, we have no freedom. Romans 6, starting in verse 6, it says, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. Now, I know that some of you may be thinking, if I surrender to God, if I defer myself to him, then doesn't that make me his slave? Where's the freedom in that? Now, if that's you, if that's what your thought train is right now, then okay. Really nothing wrong with that. But let me ask you this, okay? If your mindset is that you're either a slave to God or a slave to sin, either way, would you rather be enslaved by the things that destroy you or by that which brings eternal life? No brainer, yeah? But I would rather present it to you in this way, that when we choose to defer our will to the King, it makes us a citizen of the kingdom. Not a slave, but a citizen of the kingdom. And when we choose to surrender to the Heavenly Father, it makes us his child. Jesus wraps it up nicely by saying this. It says that Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, then you shall be free indeed. Carlin told me, there you go with the word indeed again. You always use that word in your messages. You know what I told her? Indeed. If the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, there's only one way to true freedom, to being secure in heart, in mind, and in your eternity. And that one way is Jesus Christ. We may be free politically, socially, and physically, but are we free spiritually? As we get ready to celebrate this Independence Day, let me give you one last thought, and it's today's bottom line. A simple question. Ask yourself this every chance you get. Am I truly free indeed? Amen? Amen. Everybody doing okay? Well, today we get to do something special, something that we do every month. And I think it really marks true freedom in a way like no other. Today we're taking communion. And communion basically is that we remember what Jesus Christ did for us. Now, the ushers are going to be passing out the elements, which is a piece of bread and juice. And what it represents is the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us in giving us that true eternal freedom. Thank you, sir. These elements are the representation of that. Honestly, there's really no power in the elements. The power comes in the choice that we make to remember that on this day. Like I said before, these things, that true freedom means nothing if you don't exercise it. Likewise, in taking communion, if you have not yet received the true freedom of Jesus Christ, his eternal salvation, the gift of God's salvation unto you, then today, all you would be doing is eating bread and drinking juice with us. I want to give you that opportunity that this time around, communion would mean everything to you. It would really mean true freedom. What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask Brother Jaywin to come and join us. He's going to talk to you just a little bit about that.
You know, Pastor Aaron did such a wonderful job about making clear the true gospel of Jesus Christ and what it takes to receive true freedom, true spiritual freedom. Some of you may have experienced, because we are Americans, regular freedom of our they call our liberty, financial freedom. You know, there's so much different freedoms that you can experience, but there's one that does not compare. And it's something I believe that every human being is searching for through their whole life, and that is a spiritual freedom. A real true freedom that can only come by believing that Jesus Christ came down as a man, died on the cross, and rose again for our sins. And because of what he did, it made us in right standings with God. And throughout our life, if you grew up in a religious home or just understanding religion, we think that we gotta be so moral. Do all the right things, attend the church, serve at this place, do what the pastor say, walk upright when certain people are around, watch what you say when certain people are around, and we think that that makes us moral and in right standings with God. I was paying very good attention to this message, and according to this message, to achieve spiritual freedom, it is receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, letting him take the burden of our sin and making us in right standing with God. Not that we would earn this salvation, but that God has given that to us. And that is why we love him so much. And if I know of people who sat in churches for 20 years and never understood the principle that the freedom and salvation only came through Jesus Christ, they thought that their lineage or their service in the church made them in right standings with God. I'm sorry if you invested, but the only real true way is to Jesus Christ. And I want to give you an opportunity to receive him today. If you would like to say this prayer with me and bow your heads, please. I'd like you to repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I would like to receive your son Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. I believe that he died for my sins and rose again. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. Come live in me. Come change me. Make me into the person that you want me to be. I receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. If you said this prayer for the first time with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you could just raise your hand. We see your hands, and more so, even if you did not raise your hand, and this is the first time that you have finally believed in Jesus Christ, the Lord sees your heart and knows what you believe. And if this is you, I welcome you into the kingdom of heaven, a citizen of the great King. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you have seen the hands and the hearts that have received you. You know the minds and the hearts of your children. I thank you for letting me be a part of this wonderful fellowship. More so, I thank you for the freedom that you have given us as your citizens. Father, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Brother Jewett. Bible says that on that night, Jesus took and he broke the bread. And he said, "This is my body that was broken for you. A sacrifice for your true freedom. Let's take of the bread together." And then in the same manner, he took the cup. And he said, "This is my blood poured out for the redemption of your sins, for your true freedom." Let's drink of the cup. And let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this day that we get to remember. This day that is this week that is set aside to remember our independence, our freedom. Lord, we would ask that you would never allow us to forget our true freedom and what that is. We thank you for your sacrifice, Lord, and you allowed your son to die in our place so that we could spend eternity with you. You're a good God, and we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.